Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 533, The Irishman with no Irishman.
Not just Irishman?
Irishman. He's old school.
Oh.
He uses articles. That's how that. Because it's cinema.
It is right? Cinema.
Like, yeah. If they had called it The Iron Man,
right.
Then it's a different story altogether.
Now it's cinema.
That's right. Where they screwed up.
Yes, yeah. So, I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and then you should subscribe while you're there so you never miss an episode. And of course, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page and join the group and become a League of Show Sharer. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Aaron Marlowe, Librarian Cynthia, Susan Carlson, Linnea Thunsell, Tom Comiskey, Jason Weesey, Chris Williams, Tammy Sherman Powers, Douglas Baldick.
That's a new
Baldick.
One.
I hope I said that right. So that's a new one. So welcome. Griffin Fox Smith, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Gabriel Lugo, Ron Johnson, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Tribble, Lane LeVanway, Carl Clarkson, Travis Tewitt, Brent Smith, and Chris Sanders. So thank you so much, guys. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. For $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you get to help us out and cover costs and try and get us mic stands that don't always drop. Nobody can hear me talk anymore. So there.
I should say I have an Instagram page that I barely ever use.
Oh, right. Wow.
I post stuff from
Instagram model.
Yeah. Influencer, if you will.
Oh yeah.
So I posted, you know, I'll post like links to the shows when they pop up. And actually listener Matea actually added my picture of the Real Spoilers like logo to his stories.
Aww.
So I sent him a message. I was like, hey, thank you so much. And he was like, actually, we went back and forth. He's been a listener. It said that.
Did you screw it up?
No.
Did you run him off?
No. I said, thanks for the mention. He said the podcast got me through my commute to school this semester.
Oh.
So I was like, you know, I just said thank you and blah, blah, blah. So
we all know that we were responsible for Nicole Shoes graduating.
That's true.
Yeah, like, I believe she is on record as we were the reason, I believe, and she dedicates her life's work to us.
Right.
Is that
so? Yeah, I think that's right.
Thanks,
so I wanted to give a shout out to Matea for reaching out and saying some nice words via Instagram messages.
Wow. Hit up Joe on the IG.
Yeah. I mean, you can try. Maybe.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome. I don't know when I'll see it.
Yeah.
Is your wife an Instagram wife?
Does
she follow you around and take pictures of you and all the, you know, the
just to make sure I don't screw anything up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but anyway, okay, the Irishman. We should get to this quickly.
This is going
to
be a big one.
It's a 19-hour movie.
Yeah.
I thought this was a 3-part miniseries. That's not how. Oh.
It is cinema.
I was told.
I will
say I did watch it in 3 parts.
I also did watch it in 3 parts.
I watched it in one sitting straight through at the movie theater.
Man,
did you? Did
I
we
know
need?
I did not pee.
Did we need to talk about the sponsor of this episode? The pee bag.
Yeah.
No, I made it through. I did not pee.
Well, that's
so. How did you do
for
that?
Shorter movies? You can't make it through for 3.5 hours.
Because I stopped pee. I stopped drinking
3 days in advance
at like 5 o'clock, and the screening was at 7. So.
How did it play on the big screen?
It was fine. Like, okay. It was a little exhausting, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I just
I will say it moves at a pretty good clip.
It does, but
yeah, when you break into three parts.
Sure.
Yeah,
well, I mean, when I say break in, I mean I pause it, went pee, and came back. Like, right. That's, you know, like an hour. I did it twice.
Yeah.
So, like, watching it at the house was, I feel like, more enjoyable because I wasn't
don't
sworn.
Have to,
I don't have to, like, miss anything.
We're going to make so many people mad.
Why?
Pausing our movie. No, oh. I'm just saying. You're.
Yeah, well, guess what? You're on Netflix. I'm pausing the movie to go pee.
Marty,
that's
I don't know if
happen.
You know this, but you did sign up to make a Netflix movie.
I'm surprised you didn't make Netflix disable the pause.
If you want to watch it, you got to start over.
Yeah, start all over. So we should say that this is actually based on a book that is now called The Irishman. It was not called that.
Oh, they changed
They've
it.
They've changed the title
so
of the book.
So people know what it was.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I heard you paint
well,
houses.
That's happened before. So Paper Moon was actually called something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was called, I think it was called Addie Prey.
Oh.
And then the movie was called Paper Moon.
Okay.
And then they changed the, so the book is now called Paper Moon.
Ah.
So people know what the hell it is.
So yeah, it was originally called I Heard You Paint Houses, and now it has, I actually went to look for it on Audible, and I was like, where is this, I couldn't find it, And finally it was like The Irishman. I was like, oh, well played.
So now a best viewing movie on Netflix, you know. You can.
So this is all based off this book. De Niro's character,
Frank Sheeran,
has said it, gone on record and said he's the one that killed Jimmy Hoffa. Like, this is all, you know, whether it's his account, whether it's true or whether it's not.
Right.
Like,
it's ever been proven, but it was this big mystery of where did Hoffa, he disappeared. And so this guy is
saying I killed him, basically. So, yeah, so this movie opens up with a very...
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, right. very old Robert De Niro in a wheelchair, and you don't really know who... He's just talking to the camera.
Right.
Which is kind of a Goodfellas thing. Like, I don't remember...
Not talking to... He doesn't really talk to
the
camera.
No, I guess he does. He narrates it, but never talks to the
camera.
This
one, he narrates and then starts talking to the camera, which is an interesting...
Yeah, like, I thought we were going to see somebody that he was talking to, like, the author of this book or something, but that's not the case. He's just talking to the viewer. I don't know why a studio didn't bite on this. I can't think
it was like $170 million
movie.
Yeah,
Wikipedia has the budget listed at $160 million.
That's a crazy.
He wants to make a 3.5 hour movie.
Yeah, that's okay. I didn't realize the budget was that big.
You got
to
get a lot
but
of
I guess
people.
If you get all those guys, and they're all major players,
and they're teaming up with a director of this guy, like, this isn't going to be like the budget that they're going to want to. De Niro's going to want a different salary for this,
sure,
than he would for like making Righteous Kill.
Sure.
Since you messed with your mic stand, your mic sounds a lot lower now. I don't know why.
I don't know.
No, he sounds fine to me.
It just sounds lower than
like the light's still facing me.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just seems lower.
Yeah,
I turn it up a little bit.
Okay. So yeah. So basically, we see a young. You know, there's a lot of de-aging going on.
Oh,
in
he
this
was young.
Movie.
He wasn't supposed to be 70 in this scene. He's supposed to be my age in this scene.
Yeah. Thanks to the miracle of computer.
You can
de-aging.
Change somebody's face.
They make him look a strapping young 65.
Oh my! Yeah. I will have to say right now, the de-aging in
not
this
good.
Movie is horrible.
I thought the Pesci one was good, and I thought
you would think that it would be better than the Marvel movies since this is cinema,
right?
But
not even close.
I think that's why he doesn't like cinema, because he's embarrassed he can't make the de-aging look good.
You know what I think it was? I really don't think it was the effects. It was the fact that, like, they still move.
Yeah.
Like 75-year-old
guys.
Well,
right.
No, that's one. That's the body stuff. But the close-ups on the faces, which doesn't really
Here's
show much.
Here's the thing. The De Niro that they want, like the age of De Niro.
Didn't look like that.
No, but we can, like, you know what he looked
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we saw him in The Godfather 2. He's
all,
that age.
But all they did was de-age 70-whatever-year-old De Niro instead of making a young De Niro that we all know what De Niro looked like. And it just doesn't work. It's so uncanny. When you talk about the uncanny valley, this is the uncanniest of valleys. It is so odd. And when you get close-ups on their face, you can see, like, the computer movement. Like, Pesci's the worst.
I didn't think he was that bad.
I watched this a second time. Well, you might not have been close enough to
maybe.
TV. Like, he looks like a video game character. His mouth, the way that it moves, it almost looks like that sped up, high frame rate. It's just not natural. It moves so weird.
Huh.
And it took me out of it. It's a shame, because this is a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
With good actors and a great director. I mean, this is a good movie. But because they just had to do it and de-age these guys in this ridiculous fashion, I really think it took away from what was an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also,
I feel bad about the de-aging thing, especially in something like this. Like, well, they did it in the Marvel movies. Like, it made sense, but,
sure.
But here I'm like, are we costing a generation of young actors
roles?
Their shot, their roles. I mean, let's not forget that, like, when he referenced De Niro in Godfather 2,
he was playing
a young Marlon Brando.
Right. It's not Marlon Brando
like,
de-aged.
So
exactly.
Would that performance just not exist if that movie was made today?
Maybe.
Would they de-age Marlon Brando?
Isn't that crazy, though? Because, yeah, you just hit the nail on the head. De Niro did this. He played a different actor's role to flashback, and he was amazing. Godfather 2 is the best.
I mean,
whoa.
They're the
you think Godfather 2 is better than Godfather 1?
Yes. Love Godfather 2.
Fudge and crazy.
I love it.
That's fine. It's a close call, but one's better.
Yeah,
better. Yeah. I love the flashback De Niro stuff.
Oh yeah, but I mean, one's better.
Yeah,
but I mean, they're the only. It's the only time two actors have won an Oscar for
the same role
role. Yeah, I mean so would you really prefer a DH performance?
No,
it really detracts again because I can watch this movie in a way that I can watch Goodfellas and be like, this is a really good film. Like, it's all there. The script, the actors are great actors, CG aside. Like, it's all there. This is a great story and a great film. And then you have all this little stuff that you can't help but to take you out of it. And it's really a shame because
you could hire, with what they can do with makeup and CG today, you could hire somebody and kind of put them in, like they did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Looper.
Right.
And that's still, makeup, I think.
It is makeup. Yeah. I think there was a little CG touch-ups, but I think overall it is makeup. Yeah. But he looks like a young Bruce Willis. Yeah. So you could do that, but and have them move like a 25 to 30-year-old. Yeah. Where in this one, I mean, no offense,
and that shopkeeper is embarrassingly bad with him holding his arm to his side and like kind of kicking at the guy. He looks like an old man.
Right.
He's supposed to be
and
like
he's got
40.
He's got kind of the old guy barrel chest going on.
Yeah.
And he just moves and almost
falls over.
Yeah.
It's like,
you want to see him beat the bejesus. You want to believe that he's going to beat the bejesus out of that guy.
He
and
was not
no
intimidating.
Moment.
This should have been like a mobster in his prime kicking ass, you know, being intimidating.
Right.
And it was embarrassing. And no disrespect. I know we're being harsh, but I mean, De Niro, one of the best actors of all time. Love De Niro. He's amazing. But he is an old man. And trying to have him play a 30-year-old.
It's not fair to him.
No, it's not.
It's not. And that's what I'm saying. This movie has every right to be amazing with the cast and the director and everything.
I think the story is an amazing story.
Right.
There are some issues when we get to like the very young versions of these characters.
It just didn't work for me. It took me out of what would otherwise have been an incredible movie. And I mean, I think it was too long too, but I
don't know. I feel like I agree that it is long, but I feel like the story that they're telling needs time to breathe. You know, like I feel like maybe three and a half hours is a little much. Yeah. You could probably trim.
I think
half
this at
an
three.
Hour.
Yeah, I think this at three would have been good. And I think they could have broken it into hour. But and I'm not saying even like the end isn't important because a lot of people are like, oh, the end went on too long. But the ending is one of the most poignant reflections of his whole life. And I think the ending is fine, but cut a little bit out, trim the other stuff 10 minutes each hour and give us lock in a nice three.
So basically we open up with very young, quote unquote, Robert De Niro.
My age, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, right.
Who looks like he's 60.
Yeah. He's a meat delivery guy and he kind of doesn't get caught up, but it's a time where the depression is going on. And
this is where I think another way you could tell the de-aging technology wasn't working all that well. And I can't believe nobody caught this, but when he's driving this truck, he left his blinker on.
Just turn. Yeah. Turn it off. Make up your mind.
A few meat honks fell off the back of a truck. You know?
That's kind of what happens. Like, he meets up. He's drinking at a local bar. He knows this guy, and he sees Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah,
who's is that? His did you see The Mandalorian?
Yeah,
the kid. Not Baby Yoda.
Oh, then the last episode
is that his son?
I don't know,
but it's the same name, and he looks like him.
That's interesting.
So
maybe.
Yeah.
No, Bobby Cannavale's son is not the child.
Not the child. Baby not Yoda. Baby Yoda. And he kind of like De Niro gets introduced to him to Bobby Cannavale, and he was like, "You like steaks?" And he says, "I do." He's like, "I can get you. You know, I can get you. I can take care of you." And he starts working this scheme where he's switching tags to meat, and he's basically getting more on his truck than he should. And everything's going great. He's making extra money. He's got a kid on the way, so he's got to make extra cash. And, like, I think they're in the Depression at this point. I think. I'm not really sure where we are.
No, because he is just back from
World War II.
So I
guess that makes sense. So we're out of the... Okay. But he's making some extra cash. He's just trying to make some money on the side. I love this scene where he pulls up to the butcher, and they open the back, and it's empty. And the guy's like, what the hell? He's like, I don't know, man.
Doesn't have anything to say. He's just like, I don't know.
Don't blame me. I just drive the truck. I don't load the truck. And he was just like, you didn't feel this truck was light? He's like, I have no idea. I can't tell you. So he ends up getting charged with theft or steal. You know, we don't really know. He gets charged with something, and he has to go see a lawyer. Turns out the lawyer is Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is really good in this.
Ray Romano was in something else where he played somebody's dad.
Big Sick.
Yes, and he was fantastic in that. So
I like seeing Ray Romano in these type of roles.
I think you're used to seeing Everybody
You should
loves
do a,
Raymond.
A biopic of Kermit the Frog.
Did you ever see that Family Guy sketch or where it's...
I don't watch Family Guy.
It's Kermit the Frog, Harold Ramis, Ray Liotta, and somebody else, and they all have the same
voice.
And he was like, "Can I get a word in here, edgewise?" And so it's a very funny sketch. I guess it is a sketch.
I don't know.
A little break-ins,
cutaway.
Cutaway. So he's just like, "Are you like this? Is what they want? This is what they want you to do? Like, if you just give up a name, it'll be all go away." He's like, "You can do that." He's like, "Nope." He's like, "All right." That'll work.
So, you know, he kind of gets the idea that this guy is loyal. He doesn't give up names, you know?
Won't give up names, and he keeps his mouth shut. Yeah. So, I mean, he's like, did you do this? And he was like, no. Did you do this? No. Did you do this? He's like, no. He's like,
and I like how he's like, I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm going to defend you, but did you? And De Niro does the same. He's like, but, you know, and he keeps looking.
Right.
It's a good scene.
And finally, they go to court, and I love this scene where, like, the judge, he's like, you know, I'm going to dismiss this case based on lack of merit, and
I'm going to give you a warning.
I'm going to give you a warning. And you think he's
De Niro
talking to
starts saying, I'm sorry, sir.
And then he turns to the constructor, like the owners of the company, and just berates them. He's like, if you ever bring a working man in front of my courtroom again without blah, blah, blah,
without evidence,
I'll destroy you, basically. So De Niro goes to like dinner with
Ray Romano.
And this is where we're introduced to Joe. Well, I guess we should say that earlier while De Niro is right, his truck breaks down.
He has this interaction. Hey, youngster. Having trouble with your truck?
Hey, kid. And I was like, kid?
It's just all right. It's just so crazy.
I'm like, now you're just rubbing it in.
Yeah, it really is. Just like, come on.
And I feel like they're the same age, like in real life.
Yeah.
I don't think they're old enough to be one calling the other kid.
Well, with this amazing de-aging technology.
Yeah. So there's already the interaction between Pesci and De Niro.
Yeah.
So they go back to this bar.
They had their meat cute.
Already.
It's like, a meat cute.
It is literally a meat
truck.
They're literally a meat.
They are both 76 years old.
Okay, perfect. And I feel like Pesci looks a little bit better in real life.
I don't know. I mean, they look.
I also think Pesci's had some work done. I think if you look at him now, he's
he's got
that Hulk Hogan colored beard. Like that just for men colored beard.
He's amazing in this movie.
Though. Oh, yeah,
Pesci's great in this movie.
You forget, like, I think Pesci kind of put himself behind the eight, not behind the eight ball. He made a bunch of money on those Home Alone movies where Lethal Weapon
Home
movies.
Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Lethal Weapon 3.
He's in 2.
Oh, wasn't he the main in 3? He's like a huge part of 3.
He wants to be like,
he's a goofy little buddy that runs
around. Is he in 1?
No, I don't think he's in 1.
No, he's not in 1.
But he's definitely in 2.
He's like on the cover of 3.
Yeah.
And then it goes Goodfellas.
Leo Getz. Goodfellas. Yeah, that's Goodfellas is number 4. So they go to this very swanky restaurant, and this is where he sees Joe Pesci again.
He's Ray Romano's cousin.
Right. And he says, you know, thanks for the, he's like, get that truck fixed. He said, I did. He said, all right. And he kind of walks away.
Oh, you're that youngster. I helped with the truck.
Then we meet Harvey Keitel, who has a very small role, but it's Harvey Keitel. Yeah. Like,
he's kind of like whispering to someone in a booth. He's talking to, they say like, oh, Joe Pesci, I know who he's talking to.
Right.
Like,
he knows if you're talking
to this guy that he's involved with more. Like Ray Romano says, oh yeah, he used to drive for I don't know, Canada Dry.
Yeah,
and he Canada and then he's Dry. Like, I know that if he's meeting with this whoever Harvey Keitel is, yeah,
this is a legit
he's someone.
Thing.
Yeah.
So is this where Harvey Keitel kind of gives him a job?
Well, I thought this is where Joe Pesci talks to De Niro and he's like, how do you learn to speak Italian?
Oh, that's right. They're sitting down and De Niro kind of says, he's like, I was stationed in all these different places over in the war. And that's why I learned it. And Pesci's just like, okay, like I might have some stuff for you to take care of, some jobs, basically.
Don't we get a flashback of young De Niro?
We do get.
They like put his helmet down real low. Like, it's all from a distance and his helmet's down real low.
Yeah, and, right. And he ends up like, we find out that he's kind of a ruthless.
Yeah.
He has a job to do. Yeah. And he said the mob is very much like the army, where like they give you your orders, you go do them, and you come back. Like, it's very simple. And he has no problem killing people. Like, we see he's making two German soldiers dig their own grave, and they think that if they do a good enough job that they'll let you go. And then he doesn't bat an eye and just blows their brains out and buries them and doesn't care. Like, it's then we flash back to present, quote unquote, present day. And it's interesting because this movie does, like, you're getting all these flashbacks, but then it also catches up, like, the flashbacks catch up to present time, and then they continue.
They're
the
like
rest
on
of
a
story.
Road trip. The old current time guys are on a road trip and with their wives, and so you keep flashing back to how they met and all this. You know, one thing I didn't like that I want to say that we hadn't mentioned yet. I don't like the way this movie looks. It's too clean. One thing that really bothered me is that, I don't know, I'm guessing he did this on digital. It just didn't look like film, and it looked too clean. You know, we talk about how some movies are too polished.
I mean,
especially when this is set in the past, you know, think of or go watch Goodfellas and just see how that movie looks on film. And
yeah,
this looks more
fair.
Like, it looks like a TV movie. And I don't mean that as a thing of quality of the script or the acting or anything, but the visuals of it, it just moved.
Hot take, it is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It didn't look like a theatrical release. It looked like a TV movie, and for a Scorsese movie of this caliber, I don't like a movie to look like a TV thing.
Yeah. You look at this next to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They do look different.
Look how Once Upon a Time in Hollywood took
that
70s look and feel, and he filmed it on film and whatever. It's like, I cannot believe Scorsese would film this movie in a way, and maybe it was like one way to keep the budget down from going over 200 or something.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? To film it like digital and have it look like film. I don't have 100% proof of that.
Right.
But just from the way it looks.
I can't imagine that adds that much.
You think adding film
shooting on film, but you can shoot on digital and have it
look like
film.
Well,
though,
this movie didn't look like a handheld movie. It looked enough like film to where, I mean, most people might not even notice it.
Right.
But to me, I just felt it moved like a Netflix TV show or something.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't have the film feel. And that took me out of it. And especially for a movie that's so cinema and supposed to be viewed in theaters, I would just think that they would film it on, you know, high quality film, you know, Panavision cameras.
Totally,
and
totally.
It just took me out of it again, where I was watching, I'm like, this doesn't feel like a Scorsese movie. Like, the look of it, it didn't feel
the
like
look,
it.
I agree, the look did not feel like a Scorsese. I mean, the content was Scorsese through and through. But I do agree that when you look at Goodfellas, or even some of the Casino, like, there is a certain, I don't know, I feel like Casino is a pretty clean looking movie. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been a while since I've seen
it. It's been
a
long time since I've seen
it. But I do agree that that Goodfellas does have a grittier,
like a grit
quality
to it. Yeah,
hard to flash back that long in history and have it be super clean. It just, you know, it didn't feel right.
I don't know. I feel like Wolf of Wall Street was pretty clean,
but Wolf of Wall Street set in the 90s.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know,
that's fair.
So, like, anyway,
I don't think it feels as jarring.
That's true. Yeah.
Just something I noticed, and especially on second watch, when I just watched this one again as well, and I just thought, man, this just doesn't feel right. And it's just a weird, I'd like to read more about the decision that Scorsese made to film it and what he used, you know, and maybe up to the cinematographer, maybe he chose it for him. But I just wondered why he did that and didn't make it look more.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I had a similar reaction. I liked this movie. I did not love this movie. Like,
I'm in the same boat.
I feel like the story never I feel like the story never really takes off for me, like, and the same way
it is Goodfellas,
like, man, like, Goodfellas grabs you by the goddamn throat, wrestles you to the ground and says, effing look at me,
right?
And this movie is a lot more of a slow burn.
Yep.
And
like a smolder.
Yeah.
I don't even go so much as a burn.
Yeah.
But it never ramps up to the level to where I really, really was invested.
Like, even when they're killing Hoffa and going through all that, I really thought, like, okay, we're building to this, and then it's going to be like, you know, that last 20 minutes and Goodfellas right. when he's like making the spaghetti yeah. and he's dropping the babysitter off and he's doing here and the choppers right. and like I thought it was gonna do that during the Hoffa
or
stuff.
The end of Scarface, the yeah. way Scarface builds from nothing to this empire and then it all falls yeah. like it just this movie never reached that point where it all just seemed like an older slower the, it just yeah. always it had more like a flat line than
this,
a rising.
This to me feels like he wanted this to be the Godfather, his Godfather,
right?
Because the Godfather is very similar to that where it is kind of even keel. The Godfather, that first movie, there's no real ramp up. It's a, it's. I mean, you get the execution of Sonny, and you get when people start getting taken out.
It's a soap opera, and it's a chess game.
Yeah,
but there's not like, but it.
It doesn't have the energy that Goodfellas has.
Yeah, and De Palma did this thing when every time somebody gets killed in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Right.
De Palma did something.
What did I say? I'm sorry.
And I was like,
thank you.
Yeah.
I was,
look, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
But
sorry. Mean, yeah. Thank you. But Coppola does this thing in The Godfather is when, every time somebody gets killed, mm-hmm. right? Something happens to make it unique.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Like nobody
sure.
ever like just gets shot and it has like, you know, so it's like,
oh, Mo Green.
But no, it's unique because he gets shot in the eye and, yeah. and the glasses shatter, right?
Right.
There's always, a, you know, or when the one guy shoots somebody with, like, the towel wrapped around and it catches fire uh-huh. and he has
yeah,
to put it out.
Is that
like,
Michael? Does Michael do that?
No.
Because somebody shoots the cop in the restaurant?
I don't know, but... No,
oh, no, it's Vito.
Yeah.
It's Vito in Godfather 2.
Is that in 2?
When
okay.
he wraps it. Yeah,
okay,
right,
yeah.
yeah.
But it's like, you know, or like... You know, when Michael comes out and he shoots the cop, like, you know,
yeah.
like there's always like some like little thing.
Every kill is unique.
That makes it unique. Mm-hmm. And
here it's more just like gangster stuff.
Right.
Well, here it's Goodfellas where you're just like walking down the street when they kill the guy that who I thought was Jason Schwartzman until I looked it up and it's not Jason Schwartzman, where he walks out of like that.
The guy that didn't really have, like, he killed him, but he's like, he didn't really,
it was an accident.
He told someone, but they didn't say anything.
They thought he was ratting it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
And
but he really
like,
did tell someone.
Yeah.
I felt bad for that guy.
Yeah, I know,
like,
right?
Yeah, not really. You know, there is the, I thought the one
he
scene.
Probably had something else. Coming.
I thought the scene with him with, the best scene for me in this movie is the scene with him, De Niro, and Jesse Plemons, where they were just like, I'm sitting in the back. He's like, no, I'm sitting because we know what he would do with
you
this
put
guy.
A fish in your car?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I did. Like,
you put you never put a fish in your car. Now it smells like this.
No,
I was like, off in the back seat.
Well, he's wanting to sit in the back seat because he knows what this guy. He kills people from yeah. behind. So I thought that tension
yeah.
between the three of them, I thought was really. And Jesse Plemons kind of plays like a dope,
yeah.
where he's not he's Jimmy
yeah.
Hoffa's adopted son. I don't think he's.
Was he?
Real,
I didn't. Think
I thought
was.
They said something like. He's
but
his
yeah,
adopted
Jesse
son.
Plemons plays. He's, yeah, his character is not the brightest.
No,
he's just yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like they wanted this to be because The Godfather is that slow.
Yeah.
Burn where
but it also felt very derivative of Goodfellas. Another
I agree.
Great. I think one of Scorsese's greatest. Like
has to be.
I would never. The problem is this movie got so hyped up and I
yep.
saw it and I'm like, I would never put this above Goodfellas.
Never.
Never.
Never, ever,
and
ever.
People, I mean, you see people left and right online saying this is Scorsese's best film, blah, 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 so on and so forth. I'm like, no way.
There's
and
an
this
energy
just feels like, it's like we've seen Goodfellas, we've seen him, and it's almost like he wanted to recreate, he wanted to make another Goodfellas.
He wanted to do the Expendables of Goodfellas.
Yeah, and it just,
like that's...
to me, it never rose to that level. And,
no.
and it's fine, but it's not that. And
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I'm a sucker for a good mob movie,
mm-hmm.
but I mean in the grand scheme of things, this I don't think this is even top five.
I think we're in the moment. I think it's because it's this year's award darling. It's this year's Scorsese, and they're gonna push it. Netflix really pushes their movies, and I think a couple years from now, a few years from now, I really don't think people are gonna be talking about The Irishman like
no.
they talk about Goodfellas.
I think
just,
I would concur wholeheartedly.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I didn't
yeah,
know where
yeah,
that was
yeah.
going.
But yeah, because it's just you know, right now it's the It movie and people are buzzing about it.
Yeah.
But I was just telling Joe and Tom just walked back. I'm like, I would never put this above Goodfellas.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, no.
But do you know how many people are saying this is his best work? It's
they're
like I
high.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
I wouldn't put this above Casino.
I personally like Casino better.
I think Casino's a better movie than this.
Yeah. I'd have to see Casino again, but
I need to watch it again.
I wasn't in love with Casino.
I love
either.
I do. So, but I mean, like, there are so many to me, it's The Godfather, Godfather 2, Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas, and Casino. Like, those are the best mobster movies ever made.
You know what I feel like? And this is, we hadn't talked about this yet, but when I first saw this movie, I was getting hyped. But I think this is kind of like stunt casting. I think people are buzzing because they got Pesci back. It's right. De Niro and Pacino and Pesci in the same movie. And there's a ton of other people in the cast. Keitel makes an appearance and Jesse Plemons is in it. You know, I mean, it's just there's so
Anna
many people.
Paquin.
Is she? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's the, you know.
That's the, I mean, she has no lines of dialogue.
But I'm just saying that I feel like this movie, just to me, it feels like stunt casting. People are so excited about it, and they won't dare say that it's not the best thing ever because
right.
look what they achieved.
It has all the elements of a movie that you should love.
I don't think Scorsese has, and look, one of the greatest filmmakers of all time.
Absolutely.
Cannot dispute that.
Yes. And I'll honestly, I liked Wolf of Wall Street better.
Oh, okay. I 100 million% would watch Wolf of Wall Street before I'd ever watch this again.
So to me, that feels like a Scorsese movie.
Wolf of Wall Street.
This
brilliant.
Does not. This feels like he's trying.
Yeah, it had that manic energy that like Goodfellas gets
This movie
into.
Never really gets energized.
No.
This movie feels like it's for people that are De Niro's age. You know what I mean? Like, but it just, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not trying to be ageist. It's just, this is a snoozy type of movie, and it's not.
It's a weird road trip movie.
It's just like, it's just so slow and so quiet and never quite gets interesting enough to engage at least me, you know? And
it's interesting. Like, you look at the Robert De Niro we had in Godfather 2.
I thought you were going to say Dirty Grandpa.
I was not going to say Dirty Grandpa.
The Family.
Oh, Christ. That's a terrible movie.
De Niro's made some interesting movies for a while.
Sure. Man. Those paychecks look real good.
Yeah, he went on his paycheck run.
Yeah. But like there that the De Niro, like Jake LaMotta or Vito Corleone, Travis Bickle, like those
Dirty Grandpa.
Okay. But like, I feel like when you see those characters, if you see that version of De Niro walking down the street, you're like, I'm not going to mess with that guy.
Yeah.
This version of De Niro is like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like there. He had an intimidation factor.
Cape Fear.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cape Fear.
Yeah. He had an intimidation.
Even in the fan.
Crazy. That's an underrated movie. That's a good film.
I like The Fan.
Yeah.
But
that's the Wesley Snipes one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's a baseball player and De Niro's the knife salesman.
Yeah.
A good movie. But I just, that's the problem with it. And again, no disrespect intended. De Niro has had a great career. But when you get a 76-year-old to try to play an intimidating 30-year-old gangster,
right.
Yeah.
That just
the scene, Joe Pesci is more intimidating in this
absolutely.
Movie than De Niro. 100%. Because they're expecting us to feel like De Niro is physically imposing, where Joe Pesci is imposing with power.
Right. With what he doesn't say. The quietness, and that's why I think his nuanced performance is one of his best, and I think he's the best part of this movie. He's so intimidating without hardly saying anything. It's that quiet, reserved, you know, he's a made man. You don't mess with him.
No, you and can't mess with him.
And people know that.
Yeah.
And so he just has so much power from the way that they film him across the room and who he's meeting with. Everything Scorsese does to set up Pesci being...
Which is the anti-Pesci, right? Like, the Pesci we always get is the guy from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Is
you think I'm funny?
Yeah, right.
Funny
where
like
he's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's crazy in that
movie.
And he's manic.
Yeah. I love
that. So, like,
that.
He downplays that, mm-hmm. and there's just... There is, like, an underlying... I won't say evil, but evil.
But we talk about that, how sometimes the more intimidating person is the quiet one.
Right.
You don't know
Do you remember Pacino or De Niro in... Was it Silver Linings Playbook?
Uh-huh. The dad. He just played. Like
okay.
Then
the other one. What was the one where it was a surprise cast and he's like a legit mob dude in the back of a room.
Oh yeah. What was
it? Was
that?
It was the next David Ayer. It was the next.
David
O. Russell movie.
American Hustle.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And we're just like, there he is.
And when he
like,
showed up, you're like,
they
are screwed. When you're like, because he just resonates.
There is that moment.
Yeah.
And because, and that was what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
But
yeah.
I mean, like, that's 10 years. 10 years.
I don't think it was 10. It was 5 or 6.
Okay. But that's a lot of time.
I bet that was at least 2011.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, 7. It's going
there. We covered it. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Granted, we've been doing this.
Oh, did we? Oh, maybe it was 2013, though.
Yeah, we did. We did that
okay.
one.
2013.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, you're right.
So, like, there is...
We've seen so many movies, God. Just something from 2013 does seem... I mean, that was 500 episodes
right,
ago.
Right, right. So, like, they're in that movie when they walk in that back room and they're starting to... The girls are like, that's the De Niro I remember. That's
right.
That intimidating, like, okay, like, whatever you say,
I really think that's the main downfall of this movie is your main character is this guy played by De Niro, and he never becomes intimidating. And he's supposed to be this guy that's doing all these jobs, and he's a killer, and he's right. getting angry at people. You don't mess with him, and you know, and it just.
I will say that scene with the I have told my wife on numerous occasions, like if anybody puts their hands or says something inappropriate to these girls, yeah. I'm going to destroy them, and I won't think twice about it. So like that scene where he, you know, they go to the, I guess
he pushed you.
Yeah. Did he touch you? And it was like, okay, like I get that mindset. Yeah. And it's,
if it was a different actor, I mean, that was the problem. Been super powerful.
There's also some really weird CG glass. Like there's a lot of CG where guys going through glass windows and you're like, that's not how glass breaks. Like that's not a normal thing. But
with
like
all the other things, that is one thing I didn't even notice.
Yeah. But it just goes to what we're saying about he bangs on the Marvel MCU drum, and it's like, yeah, dude, they did it better than you did. There's, you know, they can give us a young Michael Douglas. Like the fact that, and that dude looks old as balls today.
I think that Michael Douglas de-aging is still one of the best. It's incredible what they do. He looks just like he did in Wall Street. Like Ed just did.
Like it's insane. Even the, I mean, we've talked about it a million times. There's no reason to go back into it, but like, I feel like when he's bagging on it, it's just like, yeah, but you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna,
I'm so done with that conversation.
If you're gonna rag on it, that's fine, but do it better.
I posted this the other day, and I think this is the last thing I ever want to say about it. But George Miller posted the other day.
He did,
He quoted, but he said the exact same thing I said weeks ago. He said, "Cinema is cinema."
Yeah,
yep. That's it. Just you know what?
People used to say gangster movies weren't cinema
until Scorsese.
Well, until
Coppola.
Coppola. But they, you know, and they used to say westerns.
Yes,
I mean it was westerns. Come on, you know, it took years for people to finally recognize the fact that like The Searchers was amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, do I agree that like 85% of the Marvel stuff won't be remembered? Yes,
That horse is dead.
No. I'm saying is like to this point, there's going to be some that are going to break out.
Yeah,
that are going to be remembered forever.
You can make cinema within any genre.
Absolutely.
Horror, people said the same thing about horror.
Totally.
Oh my gosh,
you know? And so, I mean,
I just think he said it simply, and it's the exact same thing I said, and I quote it, cinema is cinema. End of story. Stop being elitist.
Is he the first one like of the major league hitters to come out and
of
say
the
it?
Older guys? Yeah. I think he's one of the very rare older directors to say that.
I guess that's true.
But anyway, I like that.
It's because he was attached to a Justice League movie. He's like, hey.
Yeah.
No, it's because he's like, Babe, Pig in the City? Cinema.
Right.
Happy Feet, cinema. Yeah. And damn right.
You suck it.
Yeah.
So and basically we get like we find out that De Niro is basically the hitman. Like he's sent on jobs.
So I heard you paint houses is what they say.
Well, that's what Hoffa says to him.
Right, but that's a code word that
it's
they
code
use
for killing people
because their blood splatters
the blood
all over the wall.
So Pesci kind of comes to De Niro and says, "Look, we got a guy, we got a friend in Washington that might need a little help." He goes, "Do you mind going up there and helping him?" And he was like, "No, all right." And this is, and Jimmy Hoffa, I don't think people today understand like who he was.
The end of this movie, it's perfect. That's exactly the nurse helping De Niro. Who's that with you? Who's that?
What do you mean, who's that?
Yeah.
Like, that's the, you know, and
but
and
I don't
was,
know Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, I'm not.
You know the name.
I know the name,
yeah.
But I don't know. This movie taught me more than I've ever known. And I've never seen the Hoffa movie. I'd like to see it directed by Danny DeVito.
Did he that was that? Oliver Stone.
Mm-hmm. No, it was Danny DeVito.
It's written by
Jack
Nicholson?
It's written by David
Jack
Mamet.
Nicholson, yeah. I'd like to.
It's written by David Mamet?
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
I'd like to see that one because I've heard good things about it. But
I feel like that's a different movie. That's a different version of Hoffa. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't
Maybe
know. I'm just saying I don't know much about him. And so,
Danny DeVito directed that?
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He
was right.
Damned.
But that's two episodes in a row where we've referenced films directed by Danny DeVito.
What's the other one?
War of the Roses.
Oh, yeah. I guess he did try to have his hand in directing for a minute there, didn't he?
But he's a producer. He produced Pulp Fiction.
Don't Throw Mama from the Train. Didn't he direct that?
I don't think he
did. Or Stop My Mom Will Shoot. Didn't he direct one of those crazy
Throw
movies?
Throw Mama from the Train. I don't,
he's in that, right?
I thought he directed
Stop
one of
My
those.
Mom or Shoot is Stallone.
I just thought he directed one of those goofy movies.
He did direct it. He's also
See?
In it.
Told you. Yeah. I knew it. I'm like,
that's a good movie.
Throw Mama. That's the Billy Crystal one?
I like it. Yeah.
That's a really good movie.
I grew up watching Stop My Mom Will Shoot.
Which is not a really good movie.
Canine Cop.
And Don't Throw Mama from the Train. Those two movies on VHS I rented from Schnucks,
that's
the local grocery store.
Look
like,
at that. That's a good throwback there.
And Hoffa was written by David Mamet.
Okay. Right. Did Oliver Stone do a Hoffa movie? Am I just making that up? I thought, okay, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I feel like if anybody did one, it would have been
him. So back to this Hoffa movie. But yeah. So, I mean, Pacino.
Here's the thing about Pacino.
Okay.
Even when he's not, when he's supposed to be playing somebody else, he's still he's doing the Pacino thing.
Hoo-wah.
Yeah. It's just like,
oh, I don't think, I thought he really reined it in here.
Really? I mean, sure.
But when he still gets that angry, like,
when you
that
reel
loud,
it in
like,
from 500 to 300, yeah. You're still doing
yeah.
it.
But he still gets angry. I mean, he does. He's a little more reserved, but he still is that, like, I'm getting real angry.
Yeah. I did think it was weird to hear him do a Chicago accent. I was like, well, that's an. Huh. Yeah. I mean, Hoffa's from Chicago, so.
Well, De Niro played an Irish guy. So.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair.
With those blue eyes. They really, I really wish they didn't make it so distracting.
Out of all of the they did change.
Oh yeah,
eyes,
did he have blue eyes? I didn't notice. Yeah. It looked so weird.
They were ice blue.
Yeah, it was distracting. Again, it's like, come on, we get it. Like, you didn't really have to make it that stand out
right.
to tell us that, you know, he played this guy that had blue eyes.
So basically, De Niro becomes Hoffa's right hand guy. Mm-hmm. He's always there. He's always around. He's kind of like his consigliere, basically, where Hoffa confides in him. And Hoffa starts to get a little too big for his britches, and Pesci kind of has to call him and says, hey,
he acts like he's a made man. Like,
and he's not,
he acts like he's untouchable. Like Pesci's character is
right.
Russell, right? Is
Russell. That, yeah.
And so, you know, Pacino starts going off on all these, you know, Pesci even tells him, he's like, you got to rein it in. Or he tells De Niro to tell him, it's like, no matter what, De Niro's
Sheeran.
Yeah, whatever. No matter
Ed
what Frank. No, whatever Frank says to him, it's like he just won't listen. He's like, no, I don't. You know,
he won't listen to him, but he does listen to him. He understands that, like, okay, this is gonna. He's like, you're making the wrong people angry.
But does he? Because I feel like he kept pushing at the end. That's why he ended
at the
up
end.
Where
he
did.
Does, but
at
he
first
rolls,
he listens.
He okay. rolls it back like that's he rolls it. But at the end,
yeah.
he does not
but
listen
at, the end,
at
he
all.
He will not bow to anybody. And
quick Oliver Stone tangent. So
yeah.
I typed it in just
yeah.
to see. You know, maybe this is something that you already know, and I was just woefully unaware. Did you know he wrote Conan the Barbarian?
I did know that.
What?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, the Schwarzenegger one, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also
not,
and he wrote
not
Scar-
the Jason Momoa
and he wrote Scarface.
Yes,
too. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Okay,
that Conan the Barbarian movie is great.
Yeah, I did not realize he had anything to do with that.
Okay,
yes. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, he's he's an interesting dude. Like, I
that's
I
one
favorite,
thing to call it.
Yeah,
yeah. My favorite Oliver Stone movie is still that
Natural Born Killers.
No, it's still that Taylor Kitsch, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Blake Lively movie.
What?
Savages?
Savages. I love Selma Hayek. I love that movie.
Didn't we bag on that movie?
No, we never saw it. I never saw it. We didn't do it.
Is that the one? What's the one where Cameron Diaz humps a car?
Oh, yeah. That's not that.
No,
what was that one?
You reviewed that or you told us because you had to see it and said it.
Was it Cameron Diaz?
That's Tony Scott or Butch Scott. Ridley Scott? That's Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
The Lawyer? Wasn't it the Link? Not the
no,
Lincoln
that
lawyer.
Was pretty good though. No, but Ridley Scott directed the car movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so Savages is great. If you haven't seen that, it's such a good movie.
Okay. Yeah, so he basically... You know,
the Counselor.
That's what it is.
I found it by Googling
Bad. Cameron Diaz humps car.
Cameron Diaz a car.
Oh, my. Did you really... went 40 minutes and you really had to because of a Cameron Diaz
Google search?
We went
40
Google
minutes
search?
On a Scorsese movie.
And he Googles a Cameron Diaz movie and has to say that.
I just love the fact that it worked. That Google
it's true, yeah.
First
like,
thing.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty specific, like, I don't know how many other results could come up for that.
You never
Let's see that in Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah. Right. Maybe he would have won that race.
It may be, yeah. Well, he did win, but, you know.
Maybe Ferrari would have won the race.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he didn't win. He got second place.
That's so
technically.
Technically, yes.
That's what I mean.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so if he was more aerodynamic.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Never mind. Just
He'd have been lubricated better.
Right, properly. Was, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't just go in. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say in not so many words, but thank you for spelling that out.
I see. What happens is we're moving forward in this, and the mob life is getting more and more intense. Like
we're crawling forward.
Yeah, that's true. even to the point where De Niro, I love this, where De Niro's middle daughter, Peggy's the middle one, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. One of his daughters is very quiet throughout the entire movie.
Because she is pieced together what he is.
She's figured it out very early.
And
like,
the
not
very beginning.
Happy.
She's so
well. I think it's when he beats
when
the crap
he beats
out
the
of
guy.
The,
up.
Yeah, that's, yeah. From when she was a kid, she knows that this is what her dad does. How he takes care of business.
Right.
And she's watched him. She's been in the background.
She's always in the background. And I do like where you just see her lurking. scanning the situation, and she's putting it all, and she's a very smart.
I do think Anna Paquin is very good, again, because we've talked about how if people think that you have to have lines to be a good actor, you don't understand, right? And so I think a lot of the complaints are, you know, we joke about it, but they're not valid when people say, like, oh, she doesn't have many lines.
They're not valid, but we're not seeing this happen to male actors
where they're just given no lines
where they're in the background and we get to talk about, well, you don't have to talk to act like we don't, like, when's the last time there's been a male role where
silent performance
where we've said that?
Crispin Glover in Charlie's Angels.
So that 20 was, years.
Was, yeah, oh, was, I just realized in the new Charlie's Angels movie, the bad guy does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. He doesn't talk and he just kind of lurks.
I got to tell you, I cannot wait for Wonder Woman to make buku bucks, Black Widow to make a buku bucks.
But women don't see superhero movies.
Oh, right.
Movies,
of course.
Joe.
Yeah. What was that? No, males don't go see super. That was males don't go, don't
oh,
go
I'm
see
sorry, you're
female-led
right.
action right. movies. Okay. When both those movies make close to $1 billion, come talk
but
to me.
No, but the I don't want to get into it. The excuse was that those are in a male genre.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, moving forward from things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
The real reason is it's an IP that's relevant
to
today's audience.
Ta-da!
Your target demo had no idea
who Charlie's Angels
or
Gem and the Holograms are.
Yeah. and then on top of it, it's like it's based on a show that if they do know about it was Jiggle Television.
It's exactly right.
Which, I mean, coined the phrase Jiggle TV.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Charlie's Angels did.
Yeah, I mean, it's that and
Baywatch revolutionized
and Three's Company were kind of the advent of Jiggle TV.
But you know what? I think she's so far off base for many reasons, but one of the things was my mom grew up watching that show. Like, she was a kid when Charlie's Angels came out, mm-hmm. and she grew up loving that show. She has no interest in seeing that movie, no nostalgia. She thinks it looks bad. You know what I mean? But like, she's the demo that grew up with it that should want to be like, oh, I loved this as a
Isn't
kid.
It weird that McGee directed that first one?
Yeah.
What a pile of scumbag that guy is. Actually, he's just a hack. I don't know if he's a scumbag.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
He produced Supernatural, so I can't be all mad at him.
But so yeah, Anna Paquin, I think, does a great job acting with just her facial expressions and her disgust at Frank's actions.
Yeah.
And so I do like that we see her ever since that moment with the storekeeper where he
sort of beats him up, I guess.
Over to,
shuffles over there. Yeah. And yeah. So the daughter, she's very standoffish with Joe Pesci. Like, she does not like
weren't they at dinner or something? And he wanted to give her a birthday.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't. And so, like, she said thank you once, and then, like, it was just very awkward.
Frank's like, say whatever, or say thank you. And
she's
Pesci's
like,
she said it.
Right. Yeah. But then she has a completely different relationship with Jimmy Hoffa, where she's like, and even in the narration, De Niro says, he's like, he didn't have a name like Mickey the Knife or Jimmy the Fish. Like, he was just he was Jimmy Hoffa. Like, there was no, he was helping people because he was a union guy, and he's keeping, and he is a hero to the people, and the people, that's kind of the mob thing, right? Like, the mob, the people of the neighborhood didn't give a crap what you did,
how it got done,
but it got done, and everybody was safe. You know, like, the neighborhood was safe because these guys would do, they would do some garbage things to keep that neighborhood safe.
But it was still basically organized crime.
That's exactly
what
it was. Yes.
What he was doing was, it was,
he was
the mob.
He was keeping the people on his side while at the same time doing some dastardly things to do that. And it's just, that I think is what makes mob movies so interesting, is you can be the hero, but also absolutely the villain.
And I think there's some romanticization going on there.
Absolutely,
I don't think that it was really that cut and dried.
No,
that,
it was not.
You know, like, the movies like to make it look like, well, if you didn't embroil yourself in this world, then you'd be okay.
You know what does that is Black Mass. Black Mass, when you're watching that, when Whitey Bulger's walking around South Boston,
right?
People are like, oh, you know, Jimmy and Whitey, and they're all happy to see him. Well, at the same time, he's killing, like, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not a good dude.
No.
But they make it look like the neighborhood was all about Whitey Bulger. Which I got to tell you, revisiting that, it's pretty good.
Black Mass?
I thought that
was a good movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That was the first time that Johnny Depp, you know, sometimes I hate to even mention the name, but, but you know, that was the first time in a long time where he showed up and he was kind of doing the Johnny Depp thing where he could disappear into a role.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
So It turns out like the running theory is that the mob got Kennedy elected, and Kennedy immediately turned on the mob. And this is one of the points in the book where
I forgot about this whole thing where he puts his brother. He was like, was he the attorney general?
So Bobby goes after organized crime.
Because everybody, I think that they felt everybody felt like the Kennedys were mobbed up.
Oh, well, they were.
Well, because they were. And, right. You know, I mean, the dad was a bootlegger. Oh, yeah. That's where he made his fortune.
Then he got elected and then turned on them.
I do love where he's just like, we can go after the old man. He was like, he had a stroke. What good is that? That's not going to do us any good. Who cares about the old man?
But then when Kennedy dies,
it
was interesting when they were all kind of like, well, there you go. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? There was no sadness
I think it's either in the book or maybe they mentioned it in the movie. Hmm. Where they say that De Niro's character dropped off 3 high-powered rifles, like, to certain areas in Texas, like, alluding to the fact that, like, oh, no, the mob killed him. Like, it was, like, so, but, like, even in the Variety, there's a Variety article that's, like, 5 points that kind of debunk some of the things that Frank is saying in this.
Gotcha.
Where they're just like, we're not 100%. We can't prove that.
Yeah, I wonder how embellished the story is.
That's the thing. Is you're getting a mob guy's perspective.
Everyone's the hero of their own story, right? And he's definitely going
to
romanticize.
I think the closest you're going to get to a real mob movie is Donnie Brasco. Like that's a cop. Like that's a guy who was in Donnie Brasco was a real dude, yeah. And he was in it. Like there's certain scenes that are completely real. So, So Kennedy gets assassinated, they keep Bobby Kennedy, played by Jack Houston. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, who is that guy? Why do I know that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Is constantly going after Jimmy Hoffa. Yeah. Like, it's nonstop.
But once Kennedy was out, then I guess.
Well, they get him. Is that right? Do they get him before Kennedy's assassinated? Do they put Hoffa in jail before the assassination?
I don't think so, but I think it was already kind of starting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, was already winding its way through.
And once Kennedy was out, they were like, okay, well, then we're good.
Yeah. And then everything went away.
Yeah.
Like, because they pulled Bobby out of the attorney general, then Bobby was shot.
Meantime, we should talk about, or maybe this is just about to happen, but to speed it along, when Hoffa goes to jail, when they do finally catch him,
yeah.
He goes away to jail for, like, 5 years or
something like that.
But
yeah.
So he won't give this other guy his pension that he's due.
He can't. And so this guy comes to Hoffa and says,
give me my pension.
Give it to me anyway. And he's, like, legally forbidden from, and there's no way to hide that.
For some reason, I thought he was being a jerk. Like,
no,
Hoffa was being a jerk about how
he was telling him no, but he started off by saying you went to jail and you still get your pension, and he's like, well,
I'm here for something completely different.
He's like, I didn't go to I think it was because he went to jail for a violent crime and Hoffa went to jail for like white collar crime,
so
they didn't take it away from him,
right?
And so
but he gets real mad and Hoffa's not giving him the time of day.
Right,
so obviously this guy played Al Capone on what was the Steve Buscemi? Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, okay.
This guy was Al Capone.
Okay.
So when I see him show up, I was like, this timing doesn't... Oh, he's not Al Capone. Like,
man.
He's doing the same thing because he's a mobster from... union guy from Chicago.
That scene when he shows up in shorts...
Oh,
and Al Pacino and De Niro in suits because he's like, that's how you dress to a meeting. That was some good writing. Now that was a good mob scene.
That's
right
a
there.
Very good scene.
He shows up late and then he shows up in shorts and he's like, it's 100 degrees out here. And he's like, yeah,
he's like,
I
yeah,
show up
you're
to
going,
a meeting.
You're going to
in
a
suit.
Meeting.
Yeah. I just thought that is some phenomenal. Like that was one of the more engaging scenes to me. Like I'm looking for that kind of writing and banter and performance. And I really like that.
Right.
But, so, yeah.
So, yeah. So they're in jail. And of course, this is the Tony Pro, I think is this guy's name.
But he ends up attacking Hoffa. Hoffa's just like eating his ice cream, ignoring
him. Yeah, of course.
Doesn't he say like a derogatory thing about
him? He says, you people.
And
Tony Pro's like, whoa. What do you mean, you people? He's like, what do you mean, you people?
Yeah. And they kind of fight.
Right. So Hoffa gets out of jail. At the same time, they've got this schlub who is taken over for Hoffa at this point as the union president.
Yeah. And Hoffa wants his job back.
He wants
his
job
back. Union.
And he has to run. Like, he has to run. Like, these. He has to run against this guy, and they kind of go back and forth with, like, they get the point where, like, you know, they would blow up somebody's car and they blow up some, you know, it's very mobbish.
Oh, man, wasn't it? So was, yeah, wasn't it like this new guy he wouldn't give someone his pension to or something? And then
yeah, something
he
like
was
that.
Withholding a pension, and then they shot up his car. I guess they sent De Niro to go do it. And then he's like disposing of it at the junk car. And he's like, that moment on, they
he
gave,
got the message.
They, yeah.
Yeah.
There's just a,
well, we, yeah. So, but there's even a scene where, like, Joe Hoffa, Jimmy's wife, is like scared. I was like, oh man, they're gonna kill her too. Like, I don't know like the whole back. I know who Jimmy Hoffa is. Yeah. I know what he represented. I know what he did.
Right.
But I didn't know, like, did
the
they
details.
Kill his wife?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They don't. Like,
but he's trying to. So Hoffa's trying to get his union back, but he's not playing ball. He's not
right.
He's not
right.
playing by the rules. And you know, Pesci's character is like is trying to tell De Niro like he needs to rein it in, and he just won't do it. And eventually, he's like. He needs to just retire. This is
yeah,
not,
we need to call
we've
it a
tried
day.
To do this. He won't play by any of our rules. You know, he's not playing nice with anyone. He's like, it's time for him to retire.
Right. And to collect his pension
yep,
and go.
Just, yeah.
And, and Hoffa refuses. Yeah. He's refusing and to back down. So we should, like, I'm trying to think, there was the.
Is that when Pesci tells him it's you need to tell him it's what it is or whatever that line.
Yeah,
that,
basically he's just like.
He's like, you gotta tell
so
him
he makes,
like, this is the decision.
Or
maybe it's when he sends him to kill him. He's like, it's what it is. Like, it's out of his control. Like, Pesci's character tried to protect him and tried to for so long.
No,
and,
De Niro.
Well,
was trying
I mean,
to protect him.
But Pesci tried to get De Niro to
yes,
play. You know,
correct.
But
correct.
Eventually, he's just like, it's out of my hands. The bosses, the higher ups,
they've gone above me.
It's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in like there was. I'm trying to think if there's anything in between, but I don't think there is. Like where, they make Frank's character becomes like the union president of a certain like carpenters union or something, mm-hmm. and like that's he starts to like. Kind of garner support for Hoffa again, mm-hmm. starts to turn the tide, and you think that Hoffa's going to win. Like, the election's coming up, Hoffa has to run again. He's probably going
to
win.
But isn't that when he needs to make good with that
guy? This is
guy
when he has
that,
to make good with Tony Pro. This
yeah.
is when you get that meeting.
And that's where you get the meeting, uh-huh. and it's like, all he has to do is play on, but Hoffa is just so, I mean, you know, he's
he
been
has
doing
to
this apologize. For a long
like,
time.
All that Tony Pro is saying, he's like, I'll endorse you, and with my endorsement, you will win. Yeah. Like, that's, he's like,
I want
you,
the apology.
I want the apology. And he was like, all right, I'm sorry for not giving you your pension. He was like, no.
Yeah.
The other one. And he was just like,
oh, and he's so
one?
Stubborn. He just won't do it.
Yeah.
And
he, I think he doubles down on it.
Does,
like,
does he actually use a slur?
I don't think he used. Yeah. Well, he says WAP.
Okay.
And I was just, and I was like, ooh, you said
a regular
bitch.
Old Henry Ford the second here.
Yeah, right.
Is that really upsetting? When you
no,
hear that?
No, not at all.
I was curious.
There's,
like,
there.
I,
honestly,
I know that like every ethnicity has, and I'm like the Irish. I guess we get Mick, and
yeah.
I'm just like. Okay.
I think it's, the, it's
like,
so if you
does were, it rise if, to the level?
I will
of the
say
N-word.
If you throw it at me in a hateful way,
right.
I will cave your face in.
Yeah.
You probably take that part. No, that's fine. Yeah. Just leave it in.
A lot of incriminating evidence.
I don't. You know what? That's the thing. But like, so nobody.
When
I've
you're
had,
off
I've
the
had,
clock.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I've had friends say it. But it's just, they're not saying it to be mean. They're
right.
just, it's a weird word.
It doesn't have the same historical resonance.
It does not to me.
Of like the N-word
no.
where it was, you know.
Like, we're referencing this in a movie and saying it is not
yeah.
bad, but we wouldn't reference even the other word.
Right.
I think in the company of the two people at this table, if you throw it at me. As a joke,
right?
It doesn't bother me,
right?
But if we're in an argument and you hit me with it, I'm gonna like I said,
yeah.
I'll cave your face in.
But that would probably be the same thing if we were in an argument and I called you an a-hole or something.
No, really? No.
Okay.
Yeah, because now, like, I feel like calling me an a-hole is just what? Okay.
What if
but,
I call you a Chinese wok? Like,
well,
they cook fried rice.
I would be confused more than anything.
I love fried rice.
Yeah, I know. But I think if you say that, now you're taking a shot at
right.
something
yeah.
different. But yeah,
so
anyway, he doubles and then
yeah.
there's a, do they get into a
they
fight?
They leave, right? Like, they're like, I'm not putting up with this. I think they leave.
I think they get into a fight
there. I don't, yeah, like, I do think they have a little
yeah.
shoving match, but,
and it's also just, it's that just it. Like yeah. the guy that's playing Tony Pro is a younger dude.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, these two dudes wouldn't stand a chance against, like, he could take them both out and not
yeah.
worry
yeah.
about it. So
I like it in the movie when they got older and they didn't have to de-age them as much. I'm like, okay. I mean, because it just
right.
looked normal.
Yeah.
I also
like that they're going on this road trip to Ray Romano's daughter's wedding, mm-hmm. but like they have to make these different stops along the way to make collection
pickups. Like, they're still doing
They're still doing
it. You would think there'd be a day
but they're
that
so intimidating and they've got so much respect that they're just like, no, just pay the old guys. Like, don't, like, they're not sending young guys in to do it. They're not sending, who was the Sonny's bastard kid? They're not sending Andy Garcia to go do the collections. They're doing it themselves.
Is Andy Garcia not in this movie?
No.
How do they not put Andy Garcia in this
movie? That's a great question. Why is James Caan not in this movie?
Yeah. But
why,
is James Caan still alive?
Hell yeah, he's still alive.
Okay.
Is Paul Newman still alive? No.
No, Paul Newman is dead.
He died right before Cars 3. They got his voice.
Yeah,
they got his voice work in before he passed away.
I believe so. Yeah,
three or two.
Three.
But I think that maybe they still had his voice for some flashbacks. Because
maybe that's what it was.
Hudson Hornet is in three.
Stuff,
but yeah. But you're right. Two is when he.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's. I feel like that's the one guy that's missing.
Yeah.
Like I love. Yeah. So yeah. So they're on the way to the wedding. Is this where they? Do they kill Hoffa on the way to the wedding?
He. Russell is in a car with De Niro, but I thought it was a flashback. It's not when they're old. I don't think it's current day or no.
Okay.
Current day is retirement home, but the road trip is like before.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was because remember the wives are with them on the road trip.
I love those wives.
But it's
they're
just
so hilarious.
But when Russell says to De Niro, like, it's done. It's out of my
no,
hands.
No, you know what? They are on the road trip. Because
do they drop the wives off somewhere else? Because it's just Pesci waits in a car the whole time.
Okay, so what happens is they're stopped at a gas station and they know that Jimmy, he's like, Pesci is starting to not be a bad guy, but he knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank knows what's coming. So basically Pesci gets the call. That he's like, look, man, you gotta talk to Jimmy. Like, you gotta dial Jimmy in, and you gotta bring him into the fold. You gotta have him play ball. So on this road trip, Frank calls Jimmy, and Jimmy's just like, no, like I'm not doing it. And then he sees Pesci make the same road trip. Like, this is all in the same thing.
Okay.
We see Pesci make a phone call, and then they're at the pool and they're having this conversation. And Pesci goes, you know, maybe you should go call Jimmy. And see if he thinks that, he's had time to think about it.
Oh, he gives him time to, that's right.
And then he goes, and then he talks to Jimmy. And so De Niro goes to the payphone, calls Al Pacino. And Pacino's like, yeah, I'm going to take that meeting. So we don't know what happened. Something happened between those two phone calls that made Jimmy Hoffa realize, I should probably take this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So they take the meeting, and De Niro's like, look, I will be there. At this time, I will meet you for the meeting and we'll go and it'll be fine. He's like, I got to be with you. And Hoffa's like, okay, I appreciate that.
But then Pesci plays it up like you're not going to be there.
Pesci says, we're going to wait here for a couple more days. Like we're not going to leave in the morning.
Yeah.
We're going to leave in the afternoon. And this is the scene.
But De Niro tells Pesci, I told him I would be there. And so he makes it act like he's not going to, but then he ends up sending him.
So this played a different way than I thought it was going to. I thought that Pesci was putting, they get in the car, they drive to this airport.
You thought he was keeping him away from Hoffa
putting De Niro on that plane to keep him away. He can't call from the plane. He can't protect Jimmy Hoffa at all.
But he actually sent him
because he
could get closest to,
you would
never expect it.
So what happens is he gets to the airport in Detroit, I think is where this goes down.
But where are the wives then? Because
they're back at the hotel.
Just, oh, okay.
They have so like this takes place in like a matter of hours.
Yeah, it's all like two, three hours.
But I thought this was interesting. So Pesci and De Niro pull up to the private tarmac. He puts De Niro on the plane and Pesci just sits in the car the whole time.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, I'm thinking like current day.
He didn't have a smartphone.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I had a lot of lost my mind.
I pooped my pants. He's just sitting in the, but anyway, so he sends him and you would never expect it. So they meet up with, I like it that you go to the house and you see the guy putting the
floor
down.
That's the real house. So
is it?
It's not the real house, but
I didn't know what
picture.
He was doing. When he was putting the floor down, I'm like, oh, they're reupholstering.
When he's putting the plastic down, I was like, well,
yeah,
somebody's getting
shot.
But
wouldn't that have been a huge tip off to Hoffa when he walked in?
Because he said they were doing construction.
They're doing construction on the house.
Yeah. Because that's what I thought they were doing.
One of the things I do love about this movie is every time you meet a real life mob dude,
it shows you how he died.
Yeah. That is clever.
I do like the one where he's like, natural causes. Everybody liked this guy. Yeah. He didn't get shot or anything.
They pop up everywhere. Shot
three times
1980.
In the face.
Yes. Yeah.
It is weird to think that like these guys were still kicking in like 80 and 81, 82.
Yeah, some of like them more recently. Yeah, they grew old, actually, which is weird.
Which, I mean, that's kind of the rumor is that the mob doesn't exist anymore because they all just died.
So anyway, he goes to see Hoffa.
He drives past Hoffa. Remember, like, he's in the car and he's driving to that address, and he was just like, what the hell is... What is going on? Yeah, he's in the car. Like he
saw Hoffa, but I didn't think Hoffa saw.
No. Yeah. Jimmy or Frank saw.
Yeah,
Pacino. Yeah. And so he's just like, oh,
getting ready to go.
This is when he realizes what's going on, and he goes to the house.
But he meets up with Jesse Plemons and the guy that was putting the floor down.
Right. So Jesse Plemons pulls up, and this is where I thought they were going to whack Frank. Because the guy's like, oh, I'm sitting in the back. And Frank's like, bull. I'm sitting.
I think he's not sure
what's going on.
Yeah. And so while they're telling him that he's there to kill Hoffa,
he's like, I'm not entirely sure.
Maybe they're taking them both out.
Right. Because, I mean, how many movies have we seen where somebody thinks they're there to do a certain thing?
Right.
And then it's really about them.
Yeah, Sonny Corleone.
Right.
Yeah. But we should say that at this point, Frank is a made man. He has a big meeting or a big ceremony where he becomes they're honoring him. Joe Pesci kind of sits him.
Does he give him a ring? He gives him
that big gold ring, which means he's untouchable. Yeah. Like he is a made man. He's untouchable. He said there's only two Irishmen that have this ring and you're one of them.
Wow.
So they go and they pick up Hoffa.
So Plemons drops them off.
Plemons picks them up and then drops
them off. Cause he's not there. He doesn't hear a gunshot.
Well, so what happens the way I interpret this scene is like that they were just dropping Jimmy off at this. Mm-hmm. And so Plemons was sitting outside waiting.
But if he was sitting outside,
I guess he would have heard the gunshot.
Then he would have heard it. That's why he dropped him, which I'm not really sure why he didn't wait around. But I guess he figured he was with Frank.
And didn't worry about it. And Frank and him have been inseparable.
Yeah, that's why they sent Frank. I mean, you would never expect. Frank's his like bodyguard. He's number two.
Right.
So. He walks in and I think.
It's just kind of like. Sad that they made his own son drive him
to. So they say it's his adopted son. It doesn't matter, but
it's
like
still
his son. But they do say that, right? Like it's not.
I don't remember if they said it, but it's still his son. I mean, because remember how like proud he was of him in court when he kicked that guy's ass.
That's my boy.
Yeah.
So he walks in and then doesn't Pacino say like this is he thought it was weird? He's like, let's get out of here.
Where's everybody? They walk in, they look at the floor. He's like, let's go, and he turns around and
boom,
De Niro
right
blows
there,
his brains out.
I will say one of the things I liked about when De Niro would kill somebody is there was never even a moment's hesitation.
None. He says it's like the military. They gave you a job. You did. You got point A, point B, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Well, that had to be tough for Frank, you know, presuming this is really happening and all that. I mean, this is a guy that he was close to and has pictures of him and the
tough
daughter.
As it was for Hoffa.
Well, didn't seem very tough at all. I mean, I don't think he felt a thing with that one.
Nope.
But, you know, he had to do this and really didn't have a choice. I mean, he was told to do it.
It was his job.
Yeah.
And it was, basically, if he says no, he's putting his life and his family on the line.
You can't. I mean, he can't say no to Russell.
Can't say no.
Yeah.
He leaves, and this is the first time we hear Anna Paquin talk.
You know, is this at a time before fingerprints? Because they don't wear gloves, and he touches doorknobs and guns and leaves them.
Oh, no, fingerprints
are all over the place.
Been around
since. But they had cleaners. They had guys that were coming to clean up.
Because I just thought,
fingerprints kind of started, like, they recognized what was going on, like, I mean, that was used in like Sherlock Holmes stories, wasn't it?
I think
it's around the fingerprints were a newer thing than that, like in the 1900s. I thought.
Well, Sherlock Holmes is like I think late 1800s.
Yeah,
I think.
I don't know. I thought it was
a good question.
Yeah, but I just noticed they didn't care. But you're right. If they had cleaners, then but it's like he touched doorknobs, metal doorknobs. He left guns.
1892 is when fingerprinting started.
Look at that.
Okay.
All right.
Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Ooh.
Well, maybe it didn't catch on until later. You know.
Either way. I mean,
but that's a good explanation.
Yeah, right. So he goes home. This is the first time we hear Anna Paquin talk, where she's, you know, Frank comes home and everybody's kind of huddled around the TV, and they're saying that, you know, the Hoffa's been missing.
She gives him the second degree.
She's like, and he goes, his wife, who's his second wife, actually, in this
movie. Hoffa's been missing for days now, a couple days.
Have you talked to Joe? And he was like, no, I haven't.
Why wouldn't you call her?
Why wouldn't you call her immediately?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like,
I'm
going to
go
call
her.
And he has a breakdown moment where he doesn't, like, he, you know, doesn't know how to talk to her.
But it's true. It's totally suspect. Because, like, why would you not call one of your closest, you know, acquaintances when, you know, his friend's missing and you haven't called the wife to check in?
And
then he talks to her and he's like, I'm sure he'll show up, you know, and he has to.
Right.
You're right. It's hard because he has to tell her and act like he doesn't know
What's going on.
There was a Sherlock Holmes story in 1903 that uses fingerprinting the Norwood Builder.
Oh, nice. I didn't mean that no one knew what they were. I just meant like forensic, like crime labs.
That's how I interpreted it. But yeah. I was like, oh no, it's been late 1800s. Yeah. Because like, I remember there was a Sherlock Holmes story that featured.
Oh, sure,
so.
Sure. So we kind of catch up to.
They go to the funeral, right?
No, they go to. That's his wife's funeral.
Oh, right.
So I think Frank goes to jail. Because they all go to jail. They get them all. They get basically they capture everybody and they get their old men in jail. Joe Pesci gives a killer performance as an old man.
That's right. Yeah, right. Because he is
an old man. Well,
that's when they really shine when they don't have to do that de-aging. It's like, yeah, they're great actors and they're great at acting their age.
Right.
They really are. I mean,
so they're, you know, he gets out of, you know.
That's right. I forgot they were in jail together. Yeah.
He gets out of jail. I do like the.
Is he like running things in jail?
Kind of.
Like.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. So he gets out, and of course, this, like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years after he gets out, his wife dies. Yeah. And
at the funeral, and Anna Paquin's
like
off by herself. She hasn't talked to him since that day, I don't think, on the phone.
He says that. He's like, she quit talking to me. Like, that was the last day she talked to me.
This movie has a very long wind down.
It really does.
And I think
this is where they could cut a lot of stuff out.
And I get what they're trying to go for is that.
But him reflecting on his whole life, like that idea, I mean, I'm on board with him. That's the whole point, is his reflecting on all of this. But
I'm on board with it in theory. I just think it has a very long wind down.
Yeah.
But like, I like the idea, at least how I interpreted it, was that like, so he got away with it.
Yeah,
but what he was left with
cost?
Was nothing.
Yes. Right,
like he killed
his best friend.
He has no family that will come to see him. No
his
friends
don't
that will
visit
come to him.
Him.
No, and all he's left with is the memories of all the horrible things he has done.
Right,
and it's like whose fate was worse?
Ultimately, Hoffa got to live his life and got it. You know, sure it was cut probably short, but
I like the idea. But again, I really. They could have cut at least 10 minutes from every hour, and I agree. It just that's the meandering part of it. That's the slow, and I know that it's trying to be contemplative, but it felt like okay.
Let's get moving.
And it doesn't just end with him being old at the
retirement
home?
So he's in the retirement home. Pesci kind of has this. Well, he tries to reconnect with Anna Paquin, and she won't. Yeah, she'll have nothing to do with it. He sits down with his oldest daughter or one of his daughters, and she's just like. Dad, we're terrified of you. Like that's never going to happen. It's never coming around. And then like he's sitting in a pretty swanky, retirement home. I guess that's true.
Those
places
are nice.
Well,
he's
got a great union pension. That's probably provided for him by the union.
That's probably a good point.
But this is where he talks to the nurse at the end and she's like,
who's that?
Well, and he's like, do you have more daughters or is that your only, or he's like, oh, I've got 3 daughters and I don't think I've ever met this one. And he's like, we don't talk. And shows him the picture and it's her with Hoffa.
Right.
And he's
like who's that?
Yeah. You don't know Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
That nurse has a very large role on Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. As a nurse?
As a prisoner.
Oh, okay.
As the color orange. She plays orange.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. But he talks to the priest and Joe Pesci kind of has a line right before he dies where he's just like, are you going to church? And Pesci's like, you'll figure it out. You'll learn. And that's kind of where he's at now, where he's talking to the priest and getting kind of his last rites.
Yeah.
The priest leaves and he's like, do you mind not closing that door all the way? Which is something that Hoffa would do, where he wouldn't close that. He didn't like being closed in. Mm. So he'd leave the doors open. And that is kind of how it ends. It kind of pulls
out. The FBI keeps showing up to try and get him.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I like that.
When he's like, talk to my lawyer and they're like, he's dead. Everyone's dead.
He
goes through the list of names.
Goes,
like,
he's dead. He goes, who's dead? He's like, your lawyer, your lawyer is dead.
But then he goes through and he's like, everyone's dead. And I love that. He's like, Hoffa has kids and they want to know what happened. Like, he's like, just tell us there's no one more to protect.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah. To the day, like he's a man to the day he died.
Except
like,
when he wrote a book, I guess.
Well,
I mean, this is.
I mean, that's very true. That's
so,
a good point.
I guess he eventually.
I wonder if it was in like the contract where he's just like, "Don't release it till I die." Is he still alive?
No.
Is Frank?
Scorsese wanted to make this movie 15 years ago.
So he probably was still alive 15 years ago.
Maybe, but I just mean the book is older than that, so it's been. It's not like this is a new revelation.
Sure.
I'm guessing these guys.
And it's obviously one of the great American urban legends as to what the hell happened to Jimmy Hoffa. Because there's no body. Nobody's ever found a body. I think one of the rumors is that he's buried in the end zone at Soldier Memorial.
Simpsons did that.
Did they?
Yeah, because they're playing football and they trip over a dead body and up in the grass. You can see it. Yeah.
But that's, I think that's one of the rumors. But I mean, it's an interesting story. And this is a good movie. Like it's a good entry movie.
I don't think it transcends the greatness of things like Goodfellas. I concur. In a couple of years, I really don't think when people are talking about the great mob movies, I just don't know that this will enter the conversation.
It will not,
unfortunately. And it had a lot of the elements to make it great. And I think it just kind of
like, and it's not bad. It's not like not like they did something embarrassing or like they thought that they were, you know, like, I mean, it never quite to me gets to the level of great.
Yeah.
Nope. I agree.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at
what?
I don't know the tweeter. I don't know, for some reason I found it was funny. You always say tweeter, and so
I just throw you off.
Yeah, and so it just kind of
after 500 episodes, it finally tripped you
tweeter. Because I was almost going to say at the tweeter. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett,
and you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget you can share an episode, become a League of Show Share members officially.
And we love you long time.
Yes, but not as much as we do the Patreon members.
That's right.
Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content. And you just help us out. And that's very much appreciated. So that's it for this one. I guess coming up next week, we will tackle Jumanji and Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Where Joe will sing White Christmas, but replace all the lyrics with Black Christmas.
That's a racist.
Or you can replace it with Orange Christmas.
Ooh.
Because orange is the new black.
There it is.
See?
Bam.
Done.
All comes full circle. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Henry lives the rest of his life as a schnook.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.